Okay, so you know how we've been looking at all this material about how we can know God? And like the idea of general and special revelation keeps popping up everywhere. So I was thinking for this deep dive, we should like really unpack what these lecture notes are saying about these two different ways God shows himself.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so we'll look at how God makes himself known to everyone and then also like specifically to certain people throughout history. So it's like building this framework, you know, to understand these like fundamental ways of knowing God.
I like that.
Cool. So let's jump in.
All right, so the notes start with general revelation,
Okay.
which is this idea that God communicates with everyone.
Got it.
And it's not just like a one-time thing. It's like God is always revealing himself
Wow.
to all people at all times, everywhere.
So it's like continuous.
Exactly. It's like this ongoing communication all around us.
I like that. A continuous communication. And the notes break it down into three main ways this happens. First is through creation, the world around us.
Like the notes even mention Psalm 19:1 and 2,
Oh, yeah.
where it says the heavens declare the glory of God. And then Romans 1:20-21 talk about how God's invisible qualities are clearly seen in what he has
It's
made.
like the whole universe is shouting about its creator.
And it's not just about like the fact that creation exists.
Right.
It's also about how intricately it's all designed.
Oh, I see.
Like think about how complex a single cell is,
Yeah.
or like the sheer size of the universe.
It's mind-blowing.
Totally.
Yeah,
And that points to something way beyond us.
to a creator.
Exactly. Then the second way general revelation happens
Okay.
is through us, through our human nature,
Okay.
like our built-in sense of right and wrong.
Our morality.
The notes bring up Romans 1:32 and Romans 2:14 and 15.
Got it.
And even Ecclesiastes 3:11, which talks about eternity being in our hearts.
That's interesting.
It's like we have this internal compass that points us towards good and away from bad.
Even if we don't have like a specific religious text or anything.
Exactly. It's like this awareness of morality that's just there.
So it's like our conscience is telling us about God's standards.
And the notes say that our everyday
It's like
judgments,
when we decide if something is fair or not.
those judgments reflect a deeper moral law that's at work within us.
Okay. That's pretty profound when you think about it.
It is. And then the third part of general revelation that the notes talk about is providence.
Providence. What's that?
So providence is like God's active involvement in the world, like how he sustains and governs everything. The notes reference Acts 14:15 through 17 and Acts 17:26 and 27.
Got it.
And these verses talk about God sending rain and fruitful seasons and even like setting the boundaries of nations and their times.
And why would he do that?
Well, the notes suggest it could be so that people might seek him.
Interesting.
So basically things that we might just see as natural.
Like weather patterns or historical events.
The notes are saying that those things could actually be part of God's communication with us.
Wow. So it's like God is speaking through all these different things.
It's all connected.
This raises another question, though.
What's that?
What exactly is God trying to tell us through general revelation?
Well, the notes give a pretty clear answer. First of all, it reveals that God exists and it shows us his glory.
Like in Psalm 19:1.
It also reveals his divine nature, his incredible power, and that he's the creator of everything.
Like Paul talks about in Romans.
Romans 1:20, and then our sense of morality that points to God's holiness and justice, and that he's the ultimate judge.
Like Romans 2:14 and 15.
And then finally, God's providence.
Like how he provides for us.
That shows us his goodness.
Makes sense. And that's in Acts 14 and 17. Okay, so that's a lot of information about God. It's just out there for everyone to see.
And the notes also say that we can infer other things about God,
Oh, like what?
like his wisdom
Okay,
and his
well, yeah.
beauty.
From looking at creation.
Like think about the amazing things we see in nature
Yeah.
that points to God's creativity and beauty.
And His majesty, too.
It's all interconnected.
So God has made all these truths about Himself really clear.
Paul even says in Romans 1:20
Yeah.
that God has made these things plain for everyone to see.
So everyone should know God then, right?
Well, in a way, yes.
Okay.
The notes suggest that everyone has some kind of awareness of God.
Through general revelation.
But here's the catch.
What's that?
Just because this revelation is available doesn't mean people are receiving it well.
Oh, right. like people can reject God.
Exactly. The notes talk about this human tendency to suppress, distort, and misuse this communication from God.
Especially before they know Christ.
Yeah, like in Romans 1, the notes talk about how people exchange the true God for idols.
So they're distorting the idea of God.
Right. And then in Romans 2, it talks about hypocrisy.
Being a hypocrite. How's that related?
It's like when we judge others for doing things that we're guilty of ourselves.
I see.
So we're misusing our moral understanding.
Right.
And then in Acts 14 and 17, it talks about how people fail to give God credit for his providence.
Like they don't thank him for the good things he gives them.
Exactly. So they're suppressing the truth.
Hmm. So even though God is making himself known.
Yeah.
People can still choose to ignore him or twist his truth.
Right. And the notes are pretty clear about the consequences of that.
Oh, yeah. What happens?
Well, God is patient.
Okay.
But there's also this idea of his wrath.
His anger.
Yeah. Romans 1, 16 through 18 talk about that.
Uh-huh.
It says that God gives people over to their sinful desires.
Oh, wow.
And lets their thinking become darkened.
That sounds serious.
It is. And the notes also mention Romans 1, 32 and 2, 5.
Okay.
Which talk about how people who know what's right but choose to do wrong will face a just condemnation.
So there are real consequences for rejecting God.
Right. Which brings us to an interesting question.
What's that?
Can you have like a natural theology?
What do you mean?
Like, can people understand God just through general revelation?
Oh, I see.
Without needing special revelation?
That's a good question. So what do the notes say?
Well, they acknowledge that some things about God are definitely evident through general revelation.
Like what?
Like his existence, his glory, his power, his holiness, his justice, his goodness, even our own sinfulness and need for forgiveness.
Right.
Those things are hinted at through creation and our conscience.
Okay, so you can get a basic understanding of God.
Exactly. But the notes emphasize that general revelation has limitations.
Oh, okay.
Like it can't tell us everything we need to know about God.
Like what?
Well, for example, it doesn't reveal the Trinity.
The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Right. Or the specifics of Jesus's death and resurrection, or justification by faith.
Oh, okay.
Or the person and work of the Holy Spirit.
So you need special revelation for those things.
Exactly. General revelation can lay a foundation.
Yeah.
But it can't build the whole house.
I like that analogy.
Thanks. And the notes go even further.
How so?
They say that attempts to build a natural theology.
Without Christ.
Right. They say those attempts often end up being idolatrous.
Oh, wow.
And warped.
So they're not accurate representations of God.
Exactly. And this connects to what the Lausanne Covenant says.
Righteous.
So the Lausanne Covenant affirms that general revelation gives people some knowledge of God.
Okay.
But it's not enough for salvation.
Right.
And it also rejects syncretism.
Syncretism? What's that?
Syncretism is like trying to blend different religions together.
Oh, I see.
And saying they're all basically the same.
Like saying all religions lead to the same God.
Exactly. The notes give an example of this.
Okay.
Like Afro-Brazilian religious practices,
uh-huh.
where they mix Roman Catholicism with African traditional religions.
Interesting.
So the point is, while general revelation is real and it's clear, it's not enough to save us.
Because people tend to reject it.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's general revelation.
Right.
Now let's talk about special revelation.
Okay.
Which is like God's more specific communication.
Right. The notes jump to Hebrews 1, 1 and 2 here.
Okay.
Which talks about how God spoke in the past through the prophets and how he speaks now through his son.
So there's a shift.
Exactly. It's a more direct and personal way of communicating.
And it's the ultimate revelation.
Right. Because it's through Jesus.
But the notes also point out
that
there's a unity between the Old and New Testaments.
Definitely. It's all God's word.
Right.
It's just unfolding in different ways throughout history.
And that brings us to the concept of progressive revelation.
Okay.
Which means God reveals himself gradually over time. Like starting with the prophets and then culminating in Jesus.
Exactly. And Hebrews 1, 1 and 2 highlights that progression.
And this connects with what Jesus said in Matthew 5, 17 and 18.
Right.
Where he said he didn't come to abolish the law and the prophets,
uh-huh.
but to fulfill them. So it's all connected.
Exactly. And the notes point out three ways Jesus affirmed this unity.
Okay.
First, by saying he came to fulfill, not abolish.
Okay.
Second, by saying that the law and the prophets will never pass away.
Not even a little bit.
Right. Not an iota. not a dot.
Wow.
And third, by emphasizing that everything will be accomplished.
God keeps his promises.
Exactly.
Now the notes dive into the Old Testament varieties of special revelation.
Right. They credit Robert J. Dunsweiler for this framework.
Okay.
So in the Old Testament, God used a lot of different ways to communicate with people.
Like what?
Well, first there are theophanies.
Theophanies? What are those?
Theophanies are like visible appearances of God.
Whoa. So God showed himself to people.
Yeah. In a way that they could see and hear.
That's amazing. What's an example of that?
The most famous one is probably Moses and the burning bush.
Oh, yeah. In Exodus.
Yeah. Exodus 3, 1 through 6.
So what happened there?
Well, Moses saw this bush that was on fire, but it wasn't burning up.
That's weird.
It was. And then God spoke to Moses from the bush.
Whoa.
And told him that the ground was holy.
Because God was there.
Exactly. It was like God was breaking into the ordinary world.
That must have been terrifying for Moses.
Yeah. The notes say that Moses was astonished and afraid.
I bet.
And then there's the pillar of cloud and fire.
Oh, right. That guided the Israelites.
Exactly. That's in Exodus 13:31.
So that was another theophany.
Yep. Another visible sign of God's presence.
Okay, what else?
Well, there's also Isaiah's vision.
In Isaiah 6?
Yeah, Isaiah 6, 1 through 5.
So what did Isaiah see?
He saw the Lord sitting on his throne.
Wow.
High and lifted up.
And what was it like?
It was amazing. Isaiah described these seraphim.
What are those?
Angelic beings with six wings.
Oh.
And they were crying out, holy, holy, holy.
That's powerful.
It is. And Isaiah's reaction was intense.
What did he do?
He said, woe is me, for I am ruined.
Because he felt so sinful.
Exactly. Mm. He felt totally unworthy in the presence of God's holiness.
So these theophanies were really dramatic.
Yeah. They were meant to show God's power and glory in a tangible way.
Okay, so God also used visions and dreams.
Right. Those are another category of special revelation in the Old Testament.
And those are like ways that God communicated through people's minds.
Exactly. Like when they were asleep or in a trance.
Okay. What's an example of that?
Well, there's Daniel's vision by the Tigris River.
Okay.
That's in Daniel 10, 4 through 9.
What did Daniel see?
He saw this man clothed in linen
with
a radiant appearance.
Wow.
And Daniel was so overwhelmed that he lost his strength and fell asleep.
It sounds like these encounters with God were really intense.
Yeah, they weren't just casual conversations. They were powerful experiences that left a lasting impact.
Okay. What's another example of a vision or dream?
Well, there's Jacob's dream at Bethel.
Oh, yeah, with the ladder.
Right. That's in Genesis 28:10 through 17.
So what happened in that dream?
Jacob saw this ladder stretching from earth to heaven, and angels were going up and down it.
Wow.
And God spoke to Jacob from the top of the ladder.
What did he say?
He reaffirmed the covenant promises he had made to Abraham and Isaac.
Oh, wow.
And when Jacob woke up, he was amazed.
What did he say?
He said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.
So the dream was a revelation for him.
Exactly. It showed him that God was present even in unexpected places.
So God used all these different ways to communicate with people in the Old Testament.
Yeah. Theophanies, visions, dreams.
It's amazing how creative he was.
It is. It shows that he was actively involved in the lives of his people.
So to summarize the main difference between general and special revelation.
Okay.
Is that general revelation is universal.
Right. It's for everyone.
Through creation and our conscience. While special revelation is specific.
Right. It's for certain people at certain times.
Through things like theophanies, visions, and dreams.
And ultimately through Jesus Christ.
Right. So general revelation gives us a basic understanding of God.
Yeah. Like his existence, his power, his goodness.
But special revelation is needed for salvation.
And for a deeper understanding of God.
Like the Trinity and Jesus' sacrifice.
Exactly.
So it's like general revelation lays the groundwork. And then special revelation builds on that foundation.
Exactly.
Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive.
It has.
It really makes you think about how God chooses to reveal himself.
Yeah. It's amazing how he uses both universal and specific ways
to communicate with us.
And it makes you wonder, like, how do these two types of revelation work together?
Yeah.
And how should they shape our understanding of God and the world?
That's a great question for our listeners to ponder.
I think so.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It was my pleasure.
And we'll see you next time.
Sounds good.